Good evening. I'm Ariel Kali, and this is Abundance in Action. In a sense, it's fundamentals and mastery, in that the 4-session fundamentals course is nested in the front end of mastery, the 16-week session. And I'll give a little bit more information on that as we get into the rich, rich time we're going to have together tonight. So I want to ask you a question, even before I give you sort of a background and a framework of what we'll be exploring in this course and in this session. I want to ask you what drew you to this particular course. And just a moment to reflect. You might have very clear insight as to why this particular course grabbed your attention. And it might have been a little bit more kind of a habitual response. That sounds interesting. Let me sign up. So this is key because we're going to get into 4 very clear insights tonight, and being clear on why we want something and what we want is very vital in attracting it and allowing ourselves to receive it. So, what drew you to this particular course? And if anyone at any point on the live calls, when I ask reflective questions, if you feel that you would really like to share verbally, please *6 unmute yourself. And if you find that the question is more what I call a seed question, SEED, that pokes and provokes and invites you to reflect deeply and over time come up with insight, insightful response, then just take the question in as a seed question. Just deeply reflect. I'd like to share with you very briefly a bit of a bio of who I am, where I come from, so you've got just enough background that you can relax into the wisdom that I'm going to share with you tonight and in the upcoming sessions in this particular course. Ariel Kali, I'm the author of 8 books and more en route. I write them as they, kind of like people and children, as they want to be birthed, I make way. 8 have come so far. And this list of books includes The Simplicity of Abundance, 4 Steps to Plenty. This particular book has been endorsed by a couple of best-selling authors, including Michael Losier, author of Law of Attraction, and John Randolph Price, author of a number of books, including The Angels Within Us and The Abundance Book. I'm also an executive life and leadership coach, a healer of many modalities, a speaker, and a global visionary. I've met personally with His Holiness the Dalai Lama and other world leaders to discuss my visions of a new model of exemplary global leadership. Initially, I'm a professional dancer, an internationally touring dancer, and in fact, this summer I get to celebrate my 25th anniversary of solo touring, which is just a gift that I cannot describe how excited I am about the potential of this and the experience. I'm 52, and it's theoretically impossible, and it's happening. It's so wonderful. Part of this is possible because I've practiced yoga daily for 38 years, since I was 14. And I've been meditating since I was a very young child. And as you'll discover in this course, clarity is the first step in receiving what we want. I've co-founded 2 corporate consulting practices, and I've co-founded 2 nonprofit societies. I've extensive experience, as you can gather, very eclectic, both in one-to-one sessions, leading workshops, retreats, seminars with individuals, hundreds of clients and students in groups. Essentially, guiding people to tap into their clarity, their healing, their empowerment, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. As you will gather, I'm highly passionate about bringing out the best in people, empowering them, and obviously you, to transform our lives and through this make the world a more sensitive, joyous, caring, and abundant place. I'm very excited that you're with me in this course. As I've mentioned to people as they were coming on the line, I have so much wisdom to share. I so love sharing it, and it requires people to receive it. So thank you for knowing this wisdom is something that is ripe for you to receive. We're going to have a mind-blowing 90 minutes tonight. Each of our sessions, as you will discover, are really packed, nutritionally packed, shall we say, with insights, concepts, contextual understanding, tools, deeply reflective questions, so that we're not kind of coasting through the course. I'm really giving you very condensed content every time we come together. Each session will be approximately 90 minutes, as you'll gather, full of tools and insights that you can apply right away in the sessions themselves and the ensuing weeks, to get powerful results for yourself. My purpose, my intent in offering you this particular course, Abundance in Action, and you'll notice the action word, the 4-session fundamentals that leads into the 16-session mastery, is to give you practical guidance and tools to shift you out of culturally conditioned lack and suffering in any area of your life and propel you into joy and absolute abundance. I could ask a silly question. How does this sound? Is this enticing? Do you want to experience this? Little rhetorical question, but important to ask every once in a while. So imagine what abundance would look like, feel like, sound like in all areas of your life. And what we're going to talk about a little later tonight is getting you comfortable to open the tap to receive what you've not yet had. Imagine what abundance would look like, feel like, sound like in all areas of your life when you allow yourself to open the tap a little or a lot to become familiar and less comfortable with what you don't yet have. Let's get started. The Abundance in Action 4-week Fundamental Series and the 16-week Mastery Series are based, as I mentioned a moment ago, on the book, The Simplexity of Abundance, 4 Steps to Plenty. And in a way, we're going to follow that book as somewhat of a script, but we're going to delve in and make this highly experiential. In the book, I outline 4 Steps to Plenty, 4 simple steps, which are your roadmap to prosperity, abundance, in any and all areas of your life. The 4 Steps to Plenty are a roadmap of 4 principles that when we follow them, we open the gates to our optimal well-being. So essentially what I'm doing as of this session is I'm beginning to pass to you the essence of this roadmap. I like to perceive in my own mind this course as 3 ripples, like dropping a pebble in a pond that ripples out in 3 ripples. The first ripple is this first session. In this session, I'm going to share with you the essence of the 4 Steps to Plenty and give you an experiential taste of each of those 4 steps. In sessions 2, 3, and 4 in this Fundamentals series, we're going to go deeper into each of those 4 keys to plenty. In the next 12 sessions, for all those who choose to go 16 weeks deep, we literally go deeper into all 4 of the keys. And again, I'll stress this over and over again, the whole point of this is to share cognitive understanding and take it deeper into your experience. So let's begin experientially by making a list of the 4 steps to plenty. If you have pen and paper handy, I'm going to ask you to dedicate a sheet of paper in this session for making this 4 steps, the 4 keys list. If you don't have paper with you, I'm going to encourage you next time you come to one of these sessions, bring writing instrument, drawing instrument, whatever, and at least a sheet of paper so you can jot down the key insights for yourself. So the 4 steps to plenty, we're going to go one at a time in this session. And we're going to make sure that you've got a sufficient grasp on these tonight, that you literally have a roadmap. This is one of the many things I often say I wish was taught in kindergarten. If we were given this simple, profound understanding at a young age, we would have no difficulty opening the gates to our well-being in any and all areas of our life. So you might even imagine for a moment, somewhat whimsically, you're about kindergarten age and you're receiving this in the foundational stages of your life, and your life is about to be built upon this simple, profound wisdom. So the first step to plenty. Very, very beautiful. Know what you want. K-N-O-W. The first step to plenty is know what you want. Please write that down so that kinesthetically you are registering. You're taking ownership of this wisdom. First step to plenty, my plenty, is to know what I want. Do you know what you want? Did you know that's the most difficult question for most people to answer? What do you want in any area of your life or in general, the totality of your life? Do you have a clear direction in your life, intuitive or formulated consciously? Do you have clarity about what you want in terms of relationship, intimate relationship, friendships, social connections, that kind of nourishment, reflection of you on a deep personal level. Do you know what you want in terms of health and well-being, vitality, longevity? Do you know what you want in terms of finances, financial well-being, financial health? Do you know what you want in terms of career and life fulfillment, how you serve, the gifts you develop and share into the world? Have you established a burning desire for something, material, physical, or experiential, or both? Have you a burning desire that you have dampened? Many people do this. They have a dream at some point in their life, often very young, and it's kind of suffocated out of them by societal demands, expectations. Do you have a dream that you have wetted down? Do you have dreams that are burning in you, and you're grappling to know, how do I bring them to fruition? How do I get out of the way and allow them to come to being? To attract and receive what you want, consciously and or subliminally, ideally both, you need to first clarify what you want. This is step one. Clarify what you want. The four steps are essential. They're like four building blocks that go together. As we go through each of four of them to some degree this evening, you're going to get a sense of this jigsaw puzzle, but you can see why the first step is the first step. When I know what I want, I set myself on a course of direction. If I don't know what I want, I'm investing energy here, then there, anywhere. Whatever comes across my path that's appealing, I give energy to it. When something distracts me, I let myself be distracted. When I have clarity of what I want, and we'll go in deeper detail, as you're getting the sense of, in sessions 2 to 4 in the Fundamental Series, and sessions 5 to 16 in the Mastery Series, we're going to go deeper and deeper, delve deeper into these questions and find the answers. What you want, when we really go into the authentic desire, is really about becoming who you are. What do you want? Let's explore this experientially. Have you ever been to a workshop or a seminar, got really inspired and energized and hopeful about what you were learning and how it would transform your life, then crashed immediately after you left the workshop and got back to your day-to-day life? That's a common story for a lot of people. There's a big pop, a big wow, when information is shared, very inspiring, very enticing, but if it's not integrated, it doesn't go very far. That drop, that crash, is because essentially the setup of the learning would have been a focus on your cognitive understanding, grasping concepts in your brain, but you likely weren't supported to embody them experientially. And it's only when we embody our new awareness that we get results. We've got another dancer on the line live tonight, and I bet she could attest to this. As dancers, we cannot not embody the technique, the intention of the choreographer, the passion in the music. We're masters at embodying, expressing through body. But even we need to become masters at embodying our other dreams so we can bring them to fruition too. True for all of us. Embodying our awareness is how we get results. It's not our brain that digests and takes action. It is literally our body that does this. So let's experientially explore the four steps to plenty. I know you're ready. Let's get with it. So these tools, I want to really stress, I'm passing wisdom to you. Please take ownership of it. If any of it doesn't resonate, bounce it off and ask questions of yourself and or me to clarify. If it resonates, take it in and fully own it. You don't have to ask permission. Permission is granted. It's yours. I'm passing keys to you. So step one, as we've said, do you know what you want? Did you know? I'm going to share something that I know you know, but you may not have noticed before, at least not this profoundly. Did you know that most people get more and more of what they don't want because innocently they are focusing their attention on it? Their mind and their thoughts are focusing, out of conditioning or fear or lack of self-worth or whatever, on lack. I don't believe I want it, but I don't believe I can deserve it. I want it, but I'm told don't ask for too much. I'm whatever reasons, yeah? Or they're focused on the apparent absence of what they do want. So let me reiterate that to be really clear. Most people focus on what they want that they don't yet have, or on what they have that they don't want. And so they're either magnifying the existence of what they don't want. I hate this, I dislike it, the complaining, the gossip, etc. They're actually stoking the fire of what they don't want by focusing their attention on it. Or they're focusing on the fact that what they want is not yet here. They're focusing on the lack, the absence of it. And what we're going to do, especially in step two, is train our attention on what we want and know, trust that it is en route to coming into fruition for us. Staying on step one, the mind is like a magnet. We attract what we think about. And as we go deeper into these four keys, we're going to discover that what we think about is often subliminal. There are levels of our thinking that where many of us not even aware are going on. And they're like the foot on the brakes when we have an intentional foot on the accelerator. All of that we're going to disentangle through the process of this course. How does this sound so far? Is this appealing? Is this in the zone, if not in the mark, of what you know you need and want? So I'm going to tell you a couple of little stories as we go through this, just because I love telling stories about other people and putting this into a pragmatic context. One of my teleclass students got so clear in session one that she wanted, one of the things she so wanted, she had a burning desire for, was that she wanted to get over her fear of public speaking. Within 2 weeks, and these are absolutely true stories, within 2 weeks, she received two unsolicited invitations to public speak. She magnetically attracted them because she was clear. She loved the experience she had, and now she's excited about receiving more opportunities to speak publicly. She is an example of allowing herself to be seen and heard, and this is having an enormous impact on her life. So I'd like to ask you to take another blank sheet of paper. If you don't have one handy, either take a moment, go and get one, catch up with us in a moment. I'll slow down so you have time to set this up. This is why the recordings are really great, because you can go at your own pace with these activities. When you have a sheet of paper in front of you, and I'd like to ask you that it be a blank sheet of paper, lay it horizontally. I'm assuming it's a standard sheet of paper, 8.5 by 11 inches. Lay it horizontal so it's wider than it is tall. And then please fold it into a three-column brochure. If you're live on the call and you need to hold your listening device, your phone, do so. Everybody's good at propping it. Just so you know, people live on the call, it can be helpful if you can set it up to be hands-free with a headset. Or just know from time to time, I'm going to ask you to do things with your hands, so just be prepared. So that sheet of paper, you're folding it into a three-column brochure, so to speak. Once you've got those two folds, so you've got three columns, open it up. We're going to use one side of this brochure. I'm going to give you a heading for each of the top of these three columns, and then I'm going to give you some very clear directions of what to do with this. This is one of the best exercises I know to help people do two things. One, get clear about what you want, and get your attention off of what you don't want. So the headings of the three columns, going from the left column first. Left column, shorthand heading is don't want. That stands for what I don't want, but don't want will do. You know what it means. The middle column, the heading is opposite. Opposite. I'll decode all of this in a moment. The right-hand column, the heading is details. That's shorthand for details of what I do want, but details will do. What we're going to start with is the left-hand column, and what I'm going to ask you to do, and I'm going to ask you to truly do this, delve into it between now and session two, is make an inventory of all the things you don't want. And what I'm going to be very clear on expressing here is not to wallow in them. To take stock from an observer standpoint, I don't want to live in a climate where it's freezing cold in the winter and I get frostbite when I go outside. I don't want to live where there's so much noise at night coming from the streets, cars and people talking. I don't want, whatever it is, I don't want to wear black anymore. I don't want, whatever might be on your list. Remembering most people have been trained culturally to focus on what they don't want, rather than get clear what they do want and propel their focus in that direction. So the don't want column is essential information that we're going to use in a moment. That's all it's for. It's not for dwelling on. It's not for wallowing in, jumping into and swimming in. It's purely powerful information. What you're going to do with this, and by the way, I've had clients and students go away with this exercise and come back and go, oh my God, do you know how long that list is? And I go, For many people, it's a very long list. Some people, they can get to kind of the essence, the bullet points, and others, it's details. A whole lot of details, variations on themes. Take as many sheets of paper as you need to basically land that inventory. There are two ways to get into column two, the middle column. One is essentially do the inventory, what I don't want, the left-hand column. Do it until you feel you've pretty much exhausted it. When other things come to mind, you can go to your list and add them. But you're going to know when you've basically got them all down. You've basically admitted to yourself, these are all the things I really don't want. Practicing not wallowing, just observational statements. Fact, I really don't want these. I don't want a perpetuation of whatever's on this list. You can either essentially wait until you've got that list pretty much fully done, and then go to the middle column. Or it might work better for you as you start to develop that list to start to flip it into the middle column. What you do in the second step is you literally flip to the opposite. So say it's, I don't want to live in such a cold climate that when I go outside, I'm at risk of getting frostbite. The opposite would be, I want to live in a climate that's balmy, really warm. I could wear a sundress virtually all year. Flip-flops. So you flip to the opposite. It can even sound whimsical. Doesn't matter. The point is you're flipping it to the opposite. You're getting out of the don't want zone. You're getting it way over there in the I do want zone, the opposite. What you will do is transfer everything from your left-hand list into your center list. You're going to translate everything from this is what I don't want to its opposite. Nothing will be on your left list that has not been translated to your center list. Everything, even if you really have to dig deep, what would be the opposite of this? You do it. Very powerful exercise. What's really key before we go on is once you have flipped everything from your left-hand list to your center column, the left-hand list has done its job. That left-hand column, it's done its job. It's provided you with very important information. You don't need it anymore. And in fact, you're going to take it out of your awareness field to help you not focus attention on it anymore. You're going to tear it off, cut it off, you're going to shred it, burn it, bury it, whatever you're going to do, a ceremony or just you put it in the recycling bin or whatever. But the point is, it's provided you with essential information. It's done its job. Take it out of mind, out of sight, out of sight, out of mind. Then you essentially have two columns left. You've got this, what was the center column, which has got all the opposite. And you might go, opposite, what was that the opposite of? It doesn't even matter. The point is you're in the zone now of what you want. Then you begin to translate from this opposite column to the right-hand column, details. So I want to live in a climate where it's balmy and I could wear a sundress virtually all year. Well, that could be a lot of places. Where am I drawn to? Do I have a visa where I could live there if I need a visa? Could I set up virtual work so I could spend part of my year there? Do I have relatives? Might I meet someone and marry? Whatever it might be, right? What are the details? You see, it's so much easier to find the details, clarify my version of this. Once you've got yourself in the opposite zone, you've got yourself in the zone of what you want. And can you get a sense now, even with the sheet of paper, the brochure you've created in front of you, could you put a hand, it'll be your left hand over the left-hand column or your forearm, so that you essentially take it out of your view. And just notice the energy of the center column and the right column. Do you notice how much lighter, more vibrant they are? How much more hopeful, how much more inspiring? You feel the potential energy in them? That's the zone we want you to live in. That's the upward spiral. If you choose to remove your forearm and reveal the left-hand column, can you notice the difference in energy between what the left-hand column represents and the center and right-hand column represent? Can you get a sense of where we're moving you from and to? Downward spiral, don't want, that's going to be a thing of the past. Clarity of what I do want and focusing myself, investing myself in it, that becomes your new identity. Does that make sense? So simple, so powerful. So there is our first nugget for tonight. We could essentially say, go away and play with that for a week or however long it takes you. Can you get a sense from this very simple exercise? It's one of many that I will share with you over the course of the fundamentals and the mastery. So if this is not a really big on the mark tool for you, there are more coming. This one works for many, many, many people. And here's the key. You have to do it. I've given it to you as an essential tool. You have to delve into it to find your clarity. Does anyone have a question or anyone live on the line who'd like to share any insights that have been coming up so far in our time together this evening? If so, I'll just go into silence for a few moments, give a little bit of space here for us all to digest. If you do want to share, please press star 6. You can stay anonymous if you like. If you want to stay silent, that's fine. And let's just all just reflect and digest for a few moments before we carry on. I remember it was a number of years ago. It was in the late 90s. I had just come from almost a decade of living in England and India, working on a global project that I work on with great passion. And I had come back to Vancouver, Canada, which was my birth city and also the city that I've kind of gravitated to. I've spent two individuated decades of my adult life in Vancouver. And so I'd just come back. I was staying with a friend as I was arriving back on the continent. And I remember the morning waking up in her guest bedroom. Actually, it was in the middle of the night, waking up and realizing I didn't really know what I wanted in a certain area of my life. And it actually shocked me because I'm very clear in much of what I do. I'm very clear. I create things very powerfully. My energy is, you know, really plugged in most of the time. So lack of clarity of what I want is not something I would use to describe myself, but it was really shocking to realize I didn't know what I want. And then on its heels, so to speak, I realized it's because I hadn't allowed myself to get clear yet. And if there's anything I would ever criticize, it's not individuals ever, it's our culture that we create, contribute to, and maintain unless we change it. It's one of the ways that we keep codependence alive. I discussed codependence in depth in session one of the Power of Anger course. It's one of the ways that we keep ourselves and each other smaller than our full potential. Because if we're not clear what we want, it's very unlikely we will fulfill it. And so I realized, what does it take to get clear? How can I free myself from that? Get out from under the rock, so to speak, and let myself have the insight of clarity. What is it I actually want? It was in a certain area of my life. And those moments of insight were highly liberating for me. I gave myself permission to get clear. It was absolutely amazing. So that's our tool for tonight for step one. Know what you want. Are you getting even glimmers of fresh clarity or affirmation of existing clarity? Maybe it's affirmation. I'm on the mark. Okay, this is step one. Know what you want. I do know what I want. Good. Got my first step forward. Or perhaps, whoa, now I can see why my energy has been dwindling in a number of areas in my life throughout however many years, because I've allowed myself to not be clear, or I've allowed myself to focus on with some misery what I don't have that I want. It's still not here. I've been wanting it a long time. It's still not here. I'm focusing on it not being here. Or I'm focusing on what I have that I don't want. No wonder I've been kind of stuck. Yeah. So this first step to plenty, know what you want, the three column exercise, is one example of the clarity that my intention is to support you. You have to do the work I prompt you to. My intention that you will gain through this 4-week fundamentals and ultimately the 16-week mastery series for anyone who chooses to stay in the game for a 16-week series. Let's move on to step two. The second step to plenty, and please write this on your kinesthetic taking the information in list. The second step to plenty is focus your attention upon it. So you know what you want. Imagine you're getting now a telescope. And you're going to focus, laser focus on what you want. Focus your attention upon it. This is another, excuse me, I've had a little tickle in my chest this afternoon, so I may cough every once in a while, my apologies. This is again something very challenging in our culture because we're increasingly trained to be distracted, not focused. There, as you know, more and more stimuli coming into our field of attention span, and we have to be extremely diligent in knowing what we want to focus on and then training our attention to focus on it. As we go through this course, we're going to go into some very beautiful, very deep conceptual and practical tools to apply this. Focus your attention upon it. So an analogy that I would like to use is a captain in a wheelhouse. Let's say you were on a ship, could be a sailboat, that was on a several day journey, and the decision of those in charge of the journey was, we're going to sail through the night. So we're going to have a couple of people, two of us, and we're going to pair off. We're going to do sort of a relay. So-and-so is going to be on shift as captain for however many hours. I'm going to sleep. And then when it's my time to come on, we're going to trade roles. So imagine you're captain and you're just coming into the wheelhouse. What are the first things you would do? You would check, you would affirm, where are we going? What do I want? What's my direction? You would check your coordinates. Am I on course? Is the bow of the ship taking in the considerations of tide, wind, etc.? Am I on course? Are we on course? And then you would launch into your shift of captain as the of the ship. That is the first thing you would do. It's really imperative as we get clear what we want that daily we imagine we're coming on shift as captain of our ship. Clarify, reaffirm, what is it I want? And I'm going to give you powerful tools to do this throughout this course. I'm just setting the stage for it tonight and giving you a little taste. What is it I want? Reaffirm, get even clearer, reaffirm my clarity and focus my attention upon it. Here's something, I call it vectors. Many of the people live on this call are from the West Coast or Western Canada, and other people, I know somebody is on the call from Hong Kong, so many of us know about seas, ports, yeah? So imagine you were in a sailboat leaving from a yacht club in a port city, and you were heading to an island not too far away. If as you left the dock, you were an infinitesimal point of a degree off course, when you're a few nautical miles out to sea, you're a lot off course. You get what I'm at here? If you're slightly off course when you leave harbor, and I'm not even taking into account tides and winds, meaning unknown variables, just pointing the bow of your boat towards your ideal destination. If you're slightly off course, you go a few moments, a few miles, a few whatever, and you're further off course. You could even, with your hands, let's say two hands in front of us, and I'm going to describe this as a right-handed person would. If you're left-handed, you can flip it or follow my suggestions. So your left hand, your fingers are pointing straight forward. Your left hand is pointing to your destination, whatever that might be, what you want, your destination. And now with the heels of your hands touching, have your right hand, the fingers veer slightly out to the right. And then start to pull your fingers out in the direction of them and see a little ways off until you extend your hand how off course you already are. And that's only an arm's length. How off course you already are because you were a vector, you were slightly distracted. So our focus, we need to keep checking, course correcting, bringing our focus back in the directionality, shall we say, of what we want. That's how we gather our energy, we focus it, we get powerful incubating energy. It's just like a mama, any kind of creature who's incubating a baby. Powerful energy inside is working with a very clear focus. I'm making a human child, not a bean sprout. I'm making a human child, not a pancake. I'm making a human child, not a widget for a machine. I'm making a human child. That focus is innate, and it is so potently on course. It couldn't be otherwise biologically, but the point is it's so on course. It does not get distracted, and it creates what it commissioned itself to create. That's essentially what we're learning how to do here, but with our outer world. So step two, focus your attention upon it. Captain of the wheelhouse. Step two is where you step into your power and you fully commit yourself to whatever action or focus, effort or transformation is required to ultimately receive what you want. This is really deep. And as I say, in the future sessions, we're going to really pull this apart and clean it out. I'm going to reiterate, step two is where you step into your power. That's the stopping point for a lot of people. I'm afraid of my power. I've been conditioned to give my power away, not stand in my power. So step in, you get comfortable. We're going to get you comfortable with receiving what it is you want to receive. That is going to make a lot more sense as we go along. Step two is where you step into your power and you fully commit yourself. You stand in alignment, you declare. You commit yourself to whatever action, effort, steps, or focus, transformation. We're going to get into that a lot more in this course, is required to ultimately receive what you want. We could go deeper into that now, but let me sketch the four steps here because that is potent. I'm actually going to say it a third time, thrice, because it's so condensed, that statement. Step two is where you step into your power and fully commit yourself to whatever action or focus, effort or transformation is required to ultimately receive what you want. Let's explore this one experientially. Step two, focus your attention upon it. As we started to discuss, most people get distracted from their desire, their goal, their passion, their dream, largely because it's just in their head. They're not carrying it in their body yet. It's an idea, and ideas can get usurped very quickly by other ideas. The mind can flip, like slide images so fast. The body is a slower vibration. When we put something into the body, it is less likely to be bumped out, less likely to be usurped. When we get our desire into our body, we carry it. When it's in our head, it can be like slide images that flip. We can lose it so fast. It can be very hard to entrain our mind. So let's go into a beautiful experience. But before we do that, I want to share another little story here. Again, a teleclass student, practice the technique I'm about to teach you. She lay on her bed. This is a very lovely colleague friend of mine in the UK that used to get up at 1 or 2 a.m. to participate in these live courses. She lay on her bed, closed her eyes, and took a deep breath. Then she imagined herself being with her lover and him feeling safe and opening up to her in a tender way. Within 30 seconds, and I kid you not, these are true stories. Within 30 seconds, he walked into the room, lay down beside her, cuddled into her, and began saying, "I feel so safe with you," sharing his feelings with her in a way he never had before. She says it was like a miracle. This is a bit of a ridiculous question, but would you like to learn how to do this now? So what I'm about to share with you, I've got a few versions of it. I'm going to share with you what I call experiential rehearsals. And I intuitively started doing this when I began internationally touring with dance companies in my, very early 20s. And I was touring in Europe and across North America. And what I would do, I'm just going to give you the story, the backstory, and then I'm going to guide you. And you might already be doing it as I tell you the story. The early version of this for me was I would lie on my hotel bed before we would make the journey to the theater for the performance that evening. And typically my colleagues would be sleeping. The best thing for them to do, they felt, was to rest, to nap. I would intuitively lie on my bed and I would go through a visioning process. It would include my body and I would see in my mind the skeleton of everything that needed to happen when I got to the theater. In particular, setting costumes backstage. I'd go in my mind my entrances and exits, the skeleton of the movements, and I would just see the bare bones, the sequence of steps. And then, this was all intuitive, I would listen to some very beautiful music that would set me into the energy field of love. It would set my tone, my vibration. It would put me into my heart. That was my preparation at the hotel. Then with my colleagues, they'd wake from their sleep. We would go to the theater, and I would be so present. I would be so confident that I would not forget anything. And anybody who knows about performers, one of the greatest fears is they will forget what they're doing. Musicians often have sheet music in front of them. Theater performers often have prompters in the wings. Dancers don't have anything. We have to rely completely on our memory. If we forget, we have to find it somewhere. We have to be so reliant. So I would go to the theater, calm, relaxed. My colleagues would be nervous as all get out. I wondered, why do they do this? I'll share some of those stories and the insights I gained from them as we go through this course. And I was calm. And I would go on stage in an energy of love, have a blissful performance, feel great about the performance, and the next morning wake up and bask in the afterglow. That was my performing career, still is when I perform. How did I do that? What I'm about to teach to you is how I pulled off the first what I call miracle in my life. I was given an opportunity, I was promised one of the major roles in a dance company, and the promise was going on a little too long. So on a certain tour, I went up to the artistic director sitting in the front seat of the tour bus, and I said, I was a bit, you know, straight, and I said, so I'm going to sound straighter than I actually was. So when do I actually get to perform this role? And I put her on the spot, and she, you know, came up with a date on that tour. And so it was announced to my colleagues. It was a piece with four dancers, two men, two women, and very intricate lifts that were dangerous if anybody fell or missed a connection. And the men were dealing with back injuries, so they had to keep themselves well on tour. And so they declined rehearsal. Very unusual. So I had a commitment to a performance date with them. I wasn't going to let them down or me down or the audience down. So what I intuitively did is I listened hours and hours on the tour bus as we were driving. And I listened to the music for that piece over and over again. And I visualized and kinesthetically felt myself as if I was on stage dancing it. I went over and over and again until it was flawless. And on the evening when I did my premiere of that role, the colleagues in the piece were in the wings and their jaws, I kid you not, dropped. They could not believe the perfection of the performance without rehearsal. Ah, I had rehearsal. I did it inside. There's the preamble for this. I call it experiential rehearsal. So what I want to ask you to do, and with what you've got so far in this session of clarity, it may be kind of vague and it may be, I've got it. I'm so, thank you for the validation. This is what I want. No matter where you are on that spectrum, start to play with this. We're going to take a few moments to do this right now. Allow yourself to get into a very comfortable, I'm going to assume you're sitting, very comfortable sitting position. Allow your body to adjust if it needs to so that you're giving it full permission to find its best possible posture for this reflective experiential exercise we're going into. Uncross your limbs. Unless you're sitting in a yogic sort of lotus position or a full lotus position, uncross your limbs, arms and legs. Open the channels of your body. Allow your pelvis to drop into the seat cushion beneath you. This little meditation I'm about to guide you into is the opening meditation, by the way, in the 30-day meditation oasis and the 108-day meditation infusion that are just in the zone of launching as we record this session tonight. Very beautiful, simple meditations. Uncrossing your limbs, dropping your pelvis down as if you're dropping a pebble down into the base of a pond. And as you let your pebble, your pelvis, fall towards the base of the pond, free fall your pelvis downward. Just let it go. You'll begin to notice, if you pay attention to this, that your breath is dropping deeper towards or into your belly. There's a direct connection between your pelvis dropping and your breath coming deeper into your body. This is great for athletes, dancers, singers, musicians, orators, anybody who likes to live in their integrated energy, in their authentic power. By the way, your belly is your power center. In Sanskrit, it's called the Hara. In Tai Chi lineage, it's called the Tantien, power center. Dropping your pelvis down, letting it free fall, naturally brings your breath deeper towards or into your belly. Notice the qualitative experience of this. And notice, if you choose to turn your attention to this, that your legs are beginning to dangle from your hip sockets. There's no work for them to do. The downward falling of your pelvis is sufficiently stabilizing your body. The legs can go on a vacation, no work to do. They can dangle from your hip sockets. And your arms, so familiar, similar to your legs, can dangle from your shoulder sockets, just dangling the limbs from the sockets. And letting your skull float up like a helium balloon. Just imagine that your head is a helium balloon and you're loosening the string, the tether, allowing your skull to float up. And so what is happening in you now is an elongation of the spine with no effort. All you're using is metaphors to engage energy, dropping the pelvis like a pebble into a pond, letting the legs dangle, arms dangle from the sockets, and the skull float upwards like a helium balloon. Notice what you notice in your inner state right now and enjoy it. So this is a great way to start anything, including what we're about to go into now. So whatever it is that you're drawing, into your awareness that you want, that you desire, deeply inside of you, you want to experience it, have it, do it, achieve it, however you would describe that, allow yourself, eyes probably closed or partially closed, to go into an experience of actually having it. Let yourself actually experience connecting with it, receiving it, being in its presence, being relaxed around it, embracing it, having it, becoming it. I'm going to go into silence for a few moments so you can really go into this. And you'll notice it's more than daydreaming or visualizing, depending how you use those words. It's not just seeing with your inner vision. Not everybody's visual. For some of us, it's more kinesthetic. We let our bodies feel it. For some of us, it's more energetic. We just feel the energy of it. For some of us, it's emotional. We feel the emotional script, the currents of it. For some of us, we're more auditory. We hear the soundtrack of it. For some of us, we're olfactory and we smell the aromas of it. That's more rare, but I know people where their inner experience is the most profound is olfactory. Rarely is it taste. Yeah? Whatever it is for you, let your inner senses have the experience. As you're in this, disregarding my voice or engaging it as you so choose, if you're live on the call, you can always listen back and hear, what was it she said? What you're essentially doing here, and by the way, we go into this in detail in the Be the Wave of Change course based on the book, The Ego and the Soul. What you're essentially doing here is you're giving your ego, your beautiful ego, an experiential rehearsal, an opportunity to experience, having experience, being what you want before it happens in the physical. You're conditioning your ego to it. Any resistance it might have because it's concerned it might be too much for you or it might be dangerous or it's not familiar with it, we're softening that, we're diluting it, we're dissolving it by giving ego an inner experience of not only having it, but enjoying it and embracing it, becoming good at it, being relaxed at receiving it. So in these next few moments, continuing to allow yourself to the degree that you are willing to in these moments, to surrender into the experience of actually having a little or a lot of what it is you know you desire. Conditioning yourself to the experience of actually having it. So it's not something external I don't have yet. No, I'm developing the experience right now. Experientially, I'm rehearsing. I'm experiencing actually having it, being one with it, receiving it, embracing it. And just in these next few moments, disregarding my voice or engaging it as you so choose, just noticing, what is it like? What's happening in you, in your nervous system, emotionally, physiologically, in your inner visual field, auditorially perhaps? What's happening for you as you allow yourself to be in this experiential rehearsal and have a taste, a visceral, emotional, inner visual, inner auditory, energetic taste of what you want being right here with you now, becoming it, embracing it? What's that like and how does that shift your relationship with it? You may choose to stay in this, linger in this for a while. It's why I make the recordings. If you're listening to the recording, pause here for a while. If you're on the live call, know that's why the recording's here. You can come back. If you want to disregard what I say in the next few minutes, feel free to. This is one of many tools you're going to gain, I'm going to pass to you, to help you focus your attention upon, condition yourself to receive, create your mind as a powerful magnet to attract, to hone in on, to focus on what you actually want. So you align with it, you tune with it, you connect with it, you receive it. Very powerful. I could tell you numerous stories to illustrate this. I get a sense you're trusting me that this is real. It is. Those of us ready to, let's just pause for a moment and we'll transition into the third step to plenty. Those of you ready to continue with me, third step to plenty, please bring your list handy, that lovely sheet of paper on which you are handwriting. Four steps to plenty. You're taking them kinesthetically into your wisdom field by writing them down. Not just hearing them, not just visualizing them, not just seeing them as a printout I might send to you, seeing them in print. You're taking them in physically by writing them down. You're digesting them, processing them. The third step to plenty is be aware of how you feel. What does this have to do with getting what you want? Very much. Be aware of how you feel. Our feelings are a direct reflection of our thoughts, like a still lake mirroring the shoreline and the sky above it. They are a tangible printout of what we are thinking. There's something amazing. Again, this is one of the things I wish was taught in kindergarten. Our emotions, our thinking, and our body, our physiological state, are so loyal to each other. They are perfect mirrors of each other. And so when we want to shift our output, our results, our experience, we only need to shift one and the others will follow, essentially immediately. For many people, it's very difficult to be aware, what are we thinking? What are we focusing on? Because it's essentially the mind observing the mind, turning and reflecting on itself. Essentially, that's a part of meditation, which is why a lot of people say it's so hard to meditate. I can't turn my mind to look at my mind. That's just too hard. Ask me to do something else. Okay, I'll ask you to do something else. Focus on how you're feeling. Your feelings are a direct reflection. They're a mirror image. They're a printout of what you're thinking. Even the subliminal hidden thoughts, the thoughts you're not even aware, they're so conditioned, they're so habitual, they're so deep. Your feelings can tell you, if you know how to read it, which is easy, what you're thinking. So the third step to plenty to help you focus your attention is be aware of how you feel. Our thoughts are the magnet which attracts our future to us. And so we're going to learn in step three to use our feelings to course correct our thoughts. Being aware of how you feel is how you recognize when you're on course, out of resistance, and open to receiving the abundance of whatever it is that you're recognizing, declaring that you want to have or experience in your life. Essentially, you are on course, meaning your deep mind is focused on what you want. All levels of your mind, conscious, semi-conscious, unconscious, superconscious, are all aligned. They're all focused. All feet off the brakes. All gates open. They're all focused on what you want when you were feeling good. The upward spiral experience. We're going to go into this more detail in future sessions. But in essence, you're on course when you're feeling good, energized, and in a positive mental state. When you are feeling down, spiraling down, sluggish or demoralized, this is a direct signal to you, the captain, that you're off course a little or a lot. You're going to learn, I'm going to teach you a very simple tool tonight, and in future sessions, we're going to go deeper. I'm going to share you some of the most powerful wisdom I've got about how to shift from downward spiraling states to upward spiraling states at will. So it's no longer random chance out of your so-called control. You're captain of your ship. If you notice you're off course, you're going to have tools to get back on course so that you're open to receiving as efficiently, as joyously as possible, that which you know you're aligned with, that which you know is positive and good for you. Your mind is focused on lack, the absence of what you want when you're spiraling down. If you notice you're feeling down, sluggish, demoralized as examples, those are signals. emotional, energetic signals that you are off course, meaning you're focused on absence of what you want or what you don't want. When you're spiraling up feeling good, that's a signal that on all the appropriate, all the subliminal and conscious levels in your being, you're focused on, you know, you're aligned with receiving what you do want. It truly is that simple. That's simple to recognize. You need to course correct and align the power of your thoughts with receiving what you want to achieve, to be, to do, or to have. You need to course correct and align the power of your thoughts, conscious and subliminal, with receiving what you want to achieve, to be, to do, to have. That may sound like, oh my God, that sounds huge. How am I going to do this? That's what I'm going to share with you in this course. Stay with us. Let's explore this experientially. Step three, be aware of how you feel. I'm going to give you a very simple way to do this in this session. Your feelings are your compass. Remember the captain in the wheelhouse of the ship? Your feelings are your compass. They tell you if you're on course to receive your desire or not. Upward spiral state means you're open and you're aligned. Downward spiral state means you're closed, you're doubting, you're focused on, I'm going to reiterate again, what you want that you don't have or what you don't want that is abundant in your life. You're focused in the opposite direction of receiving what you want. So be aware of how you feel. A highly powerful way to align your feelings with your desire, your goal, that which you desire to receive, achieve, experience, is to ask yourself, I'm going to give you two questions. I'm going to give you two of them tonight. Let's say I'll give you one. I'm going to tell you a little story to help you digest it, and then I'll give you the other. The first question, and it's one of a quadrant of questions, and I probably in a future session will give you the whole quadrant, but let's pull one of those questions out because it's really relevant to step three. How will you know when you've got it? Whatever it is you're declaring, singular or multiple, that you want to have or achieve or receive or experience in your life, how will you know when you've got it? You don't have to think the answer. Just let the answer, pose it to your deeper wisdom. The insight will come. I call this a seed question. You might have an immediate response, and if you don't assume that as failure on your part. You're planting a seed into your deeper wisdom. It will percolate. It will reveal to you the clarity as and when. Seed question. How will you know when you've got what you want? What we're essentially doing there, and we're going to go into this in more detail in future sessions, is we're actually casting a part of you into the future state of having it. How will I know when I've got it? I've just invited you to ask yourself to be in that future state of already having it. How will I know when I have it? Literally projects a part of you to the experience of having it. And thus you begin to tune into, how will I know when I have it? Well, I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to be relaxed. I'm going to feel expansive. I'm going to feel relief. I'm going to start doing such and such because that's the foundation to do the next thing, whatever. I'm going to call up my best friend and say, hey, now we can whatever. Yeah, how will you know when you've got it? The answer is going to be different for everybody depending on what it is. How will you know when you've got it? Amazing question to direct your feelings towards the state of reception. How will I know when I've got it? Let me tell you a little story. Again, disregard my voice if you're really engaged with that question. Keep attuned. Focus your attention on that which is most fruitful for you. One of my students during the 16-week Abundance in Action Mastery Series, when I led it once, all of these courses I'm running now, I've led once before. Back in 2007 when I first developed them, with the exception of the Be the Wave of Change course, which was developed in 2011. So this particular student in the Mastery Series was diagnosed with a heart condition and a blood disorder. Can't imagine anybody who would ask for that. A heart condition and a blood disorder. He focused his attention on how he wanted to feel when his body was healthy and all of his tests came back clear. He focuses his attention so keenly on his tests coming back clear that in 6 weeks' time, the doctors declared it was a miracle because all his tests were absolutely clear. He focused on how do I want to feel afterward? What do I want the result to be? I want the result to be clear test. He's so focused on that, he became that. Did you hear what I just said? He so focused on it, he became it. There's alchemy in this. We're going to go deeper into that in this course. He became his desire. He focused his attention and he manifested his desire. The proof was in the lab tests. He became clear. Obviously, he feels great. Question to you is, does this power to affect your own outcome so profoundly appeal to you? Do you want to learn how to do this now? That's what we're up to. How will you know when you've got the result that you want? An experience, a thing, an achievement. How will you know when you've got it? Are you getting a sense you could tie that question with the experiential rehearsal? How will I know when I've got it? Okay, now let me go into an experiential rehearsal and experience the reception of it, the journey to it, the reception of it, having it, becoming it. I may be kind of speaking over your head a little bit now. As you get the gist of what I'm sharing in this course, this is going to become so common sense to you. How will I know when I've got it? Let me ask you another really, really powerful question. It's one of my favorites. I want to tell you the backstory because sometimes the context is helpful. Going back into my dance life, because that's where I learned these things, and I learned much of what I learned through insight. I've just since a child had this ability to notice things, observe principles, recognize what's going on in the core of what's happening, not just the superficial outer layers, but what's really at the core of it. So back in my first company dance tour, I was touring Europe for 2.5 years, young dancer, just out of training with a world-renowned ballet company. And I was absolutely shocked backstage. I was kind of alluding to this earlier in this call, but absolutely shocked to discover most of my veteran performers were so nervous backstage before performances. Some of them couldn't eat for hours before. Some of them were virtually sick to their stomachs. And I wondered, as a young green performer, why are they still doing this? It must have enough pleasure factor for them to endure this after so many years. And what followed on the heels of that was this insight. Anxiety and excitement are the same energy on two ends of a continuum. Anxiety and excitement are the same energy on two ends of a continuum. So when I notice, now take this into the personal, when I notice the signals of anxiety, any shade or color of anxiety, flip it to excitement. Same energy, completely different experience. Then I'm in an upward spiral of joy. Anxiety is a downward spiral of hell. Excitement's an upward spiral of joy. Same energy. There's a profound application of wisdom. I did that from that day onward. What I also got from that was this question. It's a question we don't think the answer to. We pose it internally and let the answer come. And it always comes from our deeper wisdom. How do I want to feel afterwards? I learned this in performing. I'd ask myself, how do I want to feel afterwards? And the answer was always some version of good, great, wonderful. I want to enjoy it. What I learned at a very young age, and I can't remember if I heard someone say this or it came to me intuitively. Either way, we'll credit it to the source it came from, which was intuitive in the first place anyway, through someone. And the expression was this: the unconscious mind is a self-organizing principle. The unconscious mind, what I sometimes call deeper wisdom, yours, mine, anybody's, is a self-organizing principle. Give it a commission, give it a direction, give it a focus. Declare a desire, and it will organize you to it. It will filter out everything that's not relevant, and it will attract your attention to everything that is essential. It will pull you to it. I'm going to share other versions of that. I'm going to make sure everybody gets this concept as we go into this principle, step 3, in subsequent sessions in this course. Unconscious mind, your deeper wisdom, is a self-organizing principle. When you ask it to get you to an outcome, it will, but you have to declare the outcome. It's either such a deep passion in you, it's part of your life purpose, whether you know it or not, and you can't help but fulfill it. I've got a lot of that in my life. For some people, it's more a clarity. Declare, what is my clarity of my desire? Declare it, and your self-organizing principle of your deeper wisdom, your unconscious mind, will do the work to get you there. All you have to do is cooperate. That's what we're essentially laying as a map in this course. Again, if that's flying over your head, just relax. This is all going to make sense as we go through these steps in this course. So the magic question, how do I want to feel afterwards? I've also used this, just so you know, this is such a powerful question. When I'm aware there's a very rich, lavish meal, or people are going out drinking, or whatever, I'm invited to do something where there's going to be a lot of extravagance, whatever. And I've just known to ask the question, how do I want to feel afterwards? Well, I want to feel clear, I want to feel energized, and I want to feel groggy, and I want to feel sluggish. I want to feel good about myself, I want to feel self-respectful. That's what comes up for me. So therefore, I know what choice I'm going to make. And it varies depending on the circumstance. But when I ask myself, how do I want to feel afterwards? I know immediately. You always know how you want to feel after, and that clarifies the choice that will get you to that outcome. This is so powerful. One of many tools you're beginning to gain in this series. There's a lot to digest as you get. I mean, it sounds simple, four keys to plenty. We've already gone through three of them tonight very gently. Holy crow, what a full meal deal. Let us take a little breather, and then we're going to go into the fourth step to plenty, just a first introduction of it tonight. And then we'll begin to land our session for tonight and ensure that you've got a really handsome grip on digesting what we're exploring this evening so you're really ready to go the distance with the next session. So let's just take a breather, stretch your body, take a drink, a few deep breaths, whatever it is you feel you need, just to integrate. The fourth step to plenty. So if you don't have it handy yet, please pull out that lovely list that you're writing for yourself, kinesthetically taking in this wisdom, taking ownership of it. The fourth step to plenty is get out of the way. Get out of the way. It's pretty neat. And by the way, everything I write comes to me essentially intuitively, and then I add some learned tools to what I've received intuitively. So these four steps, they're just obvious to me. And what's pretty neat of them, as you're getting, is the first step, know what you want, is about setting a direction. The second step is focusing your course towards the fulfillment of that direction. The third step is course correcting if you veer from your focus on the course to that direction. And the fourth step is taking your feet fully off the brakes so you can fully flow towards the fulfillment of that direction. In a way, the fourth step is the one with most people that is the big holdup. It's where people are tethered. It's where they have, I've used this metaphor a few times already in the session, a foot on the brakes, even though they have a big foot on the accelerator. Getting out of the way is essentially getting all the parts of us to a place where they're in agreement with our receiving what we're declaring we want. This is so essential, and there are multiple ways to fulfill this. This is about setting the appropriate ingredients into motion in the direction of your desire. Then stepping into trust, faith, and non-resistance, letting the pot simmer, so to speak. It is learning how to allow your desires to come to you, not in a passive way, but allowing them to come to you, aligning yourself, doing the work, taking the action, and trusting the fulfillment. There's a great grace in this process. It's a very much co-creative, which we're going to go into, I believe, next session, co-creation with physical and non-physical intelligence. Learning how to allow your desires to come to you, it is about, as I've said several times this evening, taking your feet off the brakes. One of the things I've alluded to tonight a couple of times is that we have to condition ourselves to fully be open to receive what we haven't had in our experience yet. And that's quite easy to do once we realize if we've not done it yet. Conditioning ourselves to receive. We're going to talk a bit about ego as we go through this course, just because it's a beautiful way to get ourselves out of the way. You'll notice, as I mentioned, ego, I'm not about ego bashing. I'm about supporting ego to actually be effective in doing what it's here to serve us in. And that'll make more sense as we go along. Step four, getting out of the way, is learning how to yield, when to step aside. And again, this isn't about being passive. Learning how to yield, when to step aside, to get yourself out of resistance and to trust. Be patient as the universe coordinates and draws together the ingredients to bring you to your desire. You notice I'm saying bring you to your desire rather than you to it. It's about tuning you vibrationally. We'll get into that more in future sessions. So, one more little story. One of my teleclass students did so well at getting out of the way that when she walked into her first job interview after 20 years of being married and out of the workforce, she got the job. And within 8 weeks of beginning her first employment in 20 years, they doubled her salary in one afternoon. Would you like to learn how to do what she did and be effective at getting out of the way? Let's explore this now so you can experience at least a taste of what this feels like. One of the easiest, and this may sound so oversimplified, but I kid you not, it's one of the easiest. We've gone pretty deep in our three steps so far tonight. Let's go gentle with this one for tonight. One of the easiest, most powerful, completely transportable ways to be in non-resistance and in a state of allowing is this. Practice smiling. So for 2 minutes, let's practice smiling. For 2 minutes, let us check to see that our limbs are uncrossed. If our pelvis has started to contract up into our body, let's allow it to drop down again. Let our legs and our arms dangle from the sockets. Let our skull float upward. And let us practice smiling. And we might smile from our sides of our mouth. We might smile from our eyes. We might smile from our heart, allowing our heart to radiate outward. We might just allow ourselves to expand as if our whole being is smiling. And just practice smiling. If you drop out of it, bring your attention back. If this feels really hard in these moments because you're really suffering with something, really struggling, you're fixated on something that's not working in your life, practice smiling. Practice smiling. Let's just go into silence for about a minute more, just practicing smiling. Focus your attention on practicing smiling. Few more moments practicing smiling from your heart, your eyes, the corners of your mouth, extending your arms open from the palms of your hands, your belly, wherever it feels the smile is radiating from. Practice smiling. And just notice, observing yourself, how the resistance in you that you knew was there before, or maybe was so hidden, how it's dissolving, it's washing away. You're becoming more open, more willing, more available, more receptive. What are you noticing? What's shifting as you're practicing smiling? You get this transportable. You can do this anywhere. A practice of non-resistance, practice of allowing, being in a receptive state. You can do this anywhere. You don't need any tools, any gadgets, anyone else's permission. Anytime, anywhere, practice smiling. Practice being out of resistance. Practice being in allowing. Practice getting out of the way. This is one of the many ways you're learning in this course to get out of the way and allow yourself to receive whatever abundance it is you wish to experience in your life on any level. So you might stay in the practicing smiling. We're going to start to land our session for tonight. You can disregard my voice. It'll be on the recording. Or you can join me and really attune to what I'm about to share with you, whatever suits you best. So you now have, whether you've really put the pieces together, you know, with some reflection and digestion, you're really going to get, oh, wow, whoa, that's what we received tonight. But essentially, I know because I know what I'm giving you. You now have a very clear map of the four steps to plenty in your own hands. This is a bit of it's a seed question, just a check so that you can check inside yourself. How confident do you feel in your ability to apply this wisdom, these four steps to plenty now and get results? So these questions I'm about to ask you are just to probe a little bit deeper, to open you a little deeper to yourself and your well-being. Would you like even clearer understanding of how the magnetic power of your mind and what some would call the law of attraction, magnetism, how it actually works and how you can engage it? Would you like more tools that fit you and work for you personally? Would you like mentored support to practice your understanding and your tools rather than be left alone to flail and hopefully make them work? Would you like mentorship to ensure that you become a master creator and get consistent and reliable results in your life by applying this map, these tools? Do you want clearer understanding, more personally resonant tools, support to practice, and assurance that you will get results? That's essentially the nature of this course. You're in it. Thank you. Welcome. So what I'm going to recommend, a couple of things, just so you know, those of you on the live call, within about an hour typically of the sessions, you'll receive a couple of things. And people who are receiving recordings will receive it simultaneous to that information. People who register the course once it's online will have immediate access. Same time you get access to the sessions, you'll get access to the what I call home play. So the home play includes sort of a smorgasbord of a couple of things. One is inquiries to ponder between sessions, and one is explorations to explore between sessions. And both of these are designed to help you comprehend, deepen your comprehension and your embodiment of the concepts and tools that we are delving so richly and deeply into this course. And you'll get my dedication, I hope you're grasping it, for you to experientially embody this wisdom so you get the results. Something else you'll receive is quiz questions that, again, the intention of them is to help you deepen your comprehension and embodiment of this wisdom so you become the fruits, the harvest, the result of the wisdom. And I encourage you to truly explore, delve into that home play. You can take it very, very seriously and send your results back to me to receive a, you'll get this in the information you receive, a certificate of completion in the course. So a real way to fortify your confidence and your competence of becoming the fruits of this course. Or you can just do it for your own well-being, your own deep inquiry, your own deep exploration. It's all up to you. I very much look forward to meeting you again in session 2. I'm going to highly encourage you to reflect on what we've explored together in this session so that you've got a really rich foundation. Digest it well, because there's more coming in session 2. Really rich and really deep. It's been a phenomenal pleasure sharing this almost 90 minutes with you. I very much look forward to carrying through with this journey with you and transferring this incredible wisdom so that you may reap the fruits of a really rich harvest in your life. With deep love, very warm regards. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.